Last week, for those of you that were here, we cleansed and restored the temple. We came alongside the Levites and the priests, and we cleaned out God's house so that we could bring a sin offering and worship until all 28 of those animals were completely consumed. What a service that must have been. Well, this week, we find out that Hezekiah wants more of that. But he wants to do something on a grander scale. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30, starting with verse 16, we find out that the priests and the Levites, they come into the house of the Lord. They took their accustomed posts according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests dashed the blood that they received from the hands of the Levites, for there were many in the assembly who had not sanctified themselves. Therefore, the Levites had to slaughter the Passover lamb for everyone who was not clean to make it holy for the Lord. For a multitude of the people, many of them from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves. Yet they ate the Passover otherwise than as prescribed. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, "The good Lord pardon all who set their hearts to seek God, the Lord, the God of their ancestors, even though not in accordance with the sanctuary's rules of cleanness." The Lord heard Hezekiah and healed the people. The people of Israel who were present at Jerusalem kept the festival of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, accompanied by loud instruments for the Lord. Hezekiah spoke encouragingly to all the Levites who showed good skill in the service of the Lord. So the people ate the food of the festival for 7 days, sacrificing offerings of well-being and giving thanks to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Then the whole assembly agreed together to keep the festival for another 7 days. So they kept it for another 7 days with gladness. For King Hezekiah of Judah gave the assembly 1,000 bulls and 7,000 sheep for offerings. And the officials gave the assembly 1,000 bulls and 10,000 sheep. Whoa. The priests sanctified themselves in great numbers. The whole assembly of Judah, the priests and the Levites, and the whole assembly that came out of Israel, and the resident aliens who came out of the land of Israel, and the resident aliens who lived in Judah rejoiced. There was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, son of King David of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. So after they got done cleansing the temple and having that completely awesome service of repentance and worship, Hezekiah says, "You know what? We could do more. I think we should observe the Passover. And you know what? I think it should be all Israel, not just Judah. Let's have all the tribes come. Let's send out invitations to everybody in the land. Even the business guys that are passing through. Let's have everybody come. Invite everyone that you pass to come to a Passover. Now, we should look at some of the rules of Passover. This is according to Exodus chapter 12. The Passover was instituted for the first month of the year. Each family was to take a lamb on the 10th day of that month. And they were supposed to just sequester that lamb for 4 days. Basically make sure it doesn't start getting sick, doesn't show any signs of injury, doesn't show any kind of problems whatsoever. And on that 14th day, they were to kill it. And the blood of the Passover lamb was to be spread on both the horizontal and the vertical parts of the door frame of the house hosting the meal. If your family didn't have a suitable lamb, you could go to someone else's home and the blood of that lamb could cover everyone inside the house. And we know that when the Lord saw the blood in this Exodus story, he passed over the house, saving all of the families inside from the physical death of the firstborns of the families. They were also to eat bitter herbs to remind them how unpleasant slavery in Egypt was. They were also to eat unleavened bread because the people had to be ready to leave at the Lord's moment's notice, the Lord's prompting. They couldn't wait for yeast to work. King Hezekiah, after he saw what happened on that first service in the temple, he decides he wants to have Passover right away. Well, we have a problem because he spent the first couple of weeks in that first month getting the temple ready. And then they sacrifice all the offerings. Well, now he decides as soon as that service is done, he's got to send out his messengers. And they've got to travel from Jerusalem all the way into northern Israel. And those people that accept the invitation then have to travel all the way down. We've got some lag time. So the Passover is going to be a month late. But Hezekiah says, you know what? I'm not concerned about that. Because what I think is more important is to usher in a spiritual renaissance. Not really that concerned about exactly the time of the month when this is supposed to take place. Hezekiah could have waited a year. He could have, but said, I see no reason to. We haven't celebrated the Passover as a united Israel since King Solomon's reign. You know how long that was? That's more than 200 years. He didn't want to wait another year. He said the time is now. Why can't all Jews come together and celebrate God's redemptive act of grace together. Seems to me, after what he saw after they rededicated the temple, that people would be flocking no matter what time of the year it was. They would just drop everything and come to celebrate Passover. You know, when we come to worship, it's supposed to be a time of unity. It's supposed to be a time of thankful remembrance. It's supposed to be a time of seeking God's face. We're supposed to remember what God has done for us in the past. It's supposed to infuse hope in our present. And we're supposed to expect the day of complete communion with all of them in the heavenly hosts, from everlasting to everlasting, the reality of life. This isn't real. It's real up there. That's Hezekiah. He says, I want to open this invitation to everybody to know what that redemptive act of grace is. Anyone living in the area. Notice he even invites the resident aliens. People that just happen to be living in or working in the area, passing through the area, doesn't matter. He opens the invitation to anybody. It's a human being right there. Go invite that person. Come to Passover. What's Passover? Oh, you're going to love it. Come on. The sad part, when you read verse 10, there are people that laugh about this. There are people that mock him about this. There's some scorn going on, especially in the northeast. Those that are tighter connected to Assyria. And say, you know what? Nope, not coming. And even in the central parts of Israel, not everybody comes. So no one from the tribes of Gad, Dan, East Manasseh, or Naphtali come. And only a handful from Asher, Zebulun, Issachar, Ephraim, and West Manasseh. Those in Judah, well, they come. So once everybody has arrived that's going to come, of course, the day is a month past. And Hezekiah decides, it's all right. We'll celebrate with who did come. I'm not canceling it simply because not everyone came. We'll celebrate with who's here. Now, he has to make some necessary changes to accommodate those that did come. Got to make sure you have enough sacrifice, have to have enough unleavened bread, have to have enough bitter herbs. For those that do come, it's more than just Judah this time. So he makes the necessary changes to accommodate the crowd. But I think the other thing that we have to remember, he's taking a phenomenal risk here, because he's someone could come up to him and say, you know what? We're having this on the wrong day. You could meet up with a Pharisee type who is very knowledgeable in the books of first and second opinions and says, since we're having it on the wrong day, God's going to come down and... Can't do Passover today, pal. Gotta wait a year. Send everyone home. But he goes ahead with the celebration. Now, what is the result? Joy. Joy is what reigned that day. Did you notice that after 7 days of great gladness, they didn't want the party to stop? So they went ahead and partied for another 7 days. Passover celebration lasted not 1 week, but two. And I couldn't help but think that we have the very same scenario when we go to the New Testament. Do you know that all four Gospels record Jesus with a run-in of the Pharisees over the Sabbath observance? All four Gospels do that. You have these Jewish religious leaders that say, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. I'm going to make it easy for you to keep it holy. I'm going to place all of these extra requirements upon you to make sure you're doing absolutely nothing on that day. So, we're going to make this observance proper. We're going to do this very careful-like. Make sure that it's all in holiness and piety and self-discipline and very much what you're supposed to do. Thus saith me. So what we end up doing is we substitute human law for divine law. And so Sabbath simply becomes an obligation and a burden instead of an opportunity to simply rest and delight in the Lord. Which is what Jesus was trying to tell these Pharisees over and over again. You guys have totally missed the point. He was the one, Jesus, who came to show us something better, something greater than anything that we could contrive. He demonstrated the one thing that we stumble over, the one thing that we tend not to be capable of, and that's mercy. Human need every time trumps human law. The Passover, the Sabbath, the whole reason for coming to worship on Sunday, isn't it supposed to be how to wrap yourself around the risen Christ and say, I'm sacrificing myself for you. I want to know how to obey you better, how to love you better, how to learn of you, how to apply your mercy, how to see the human need in the world, how to respond to that. Isn't it about that? Not, well, how should we interpret this according to our denominational creed? How do we apply what's in this text to make sure that we observe certain holidays with the right kind of fervor? Funny. It's been over 2,000 years since Jesus was born, and instead of embracing the life and the salvation that he brings, we're still stuck on whether or not we go to the right church. That we observe all of our laws and festivals and such accordingly. We miss the point. Why can't we have more of what these people had? Can you imagine 2 straight weeks of just that joy because of the deliverance? Remembering the deliverance of that fateful day in Egypt. And yet we still pride ourselves on Sunday saying, yep, I did my obligation this week, went to church. Now I don't have to worry about that for another week. We're still so stuck in legalism. We're still so stuck on schedules and agendas. Father, please help us. When we focus on our tradition, on our plan, on our agenda, on our timetable, when we look at our watches and we forget that you are everlasting, that time with you is not dependent on a calendar, on a clock, on a year, that you are the ever-present. And you make yourself available 24/7 and ask us, where are you? What are you doing? Come spend some time with me. Put your agendas aside. Come spend some time with me. are all about restoration. You are all about salvation. You are all about joy. Help us to remember that. For as long as you tarry, Lord Jesus, you ask us to be ambassadors of your hope. Father, we're sorry. We have failed in that. You are telling us the Passover time is now. And time with you is the best way that we can spend our time. No matter what our agenda, no matter what our schedule, help us to come see you first. A calendar for April. Technically, Passover is a month from now. So instead of talking about it a month late, tonight we're talking about it a month early. But God is not a God of our calendar. He's not a God of our timetable. He is God. That's just the way it is. And if you are guilty, as I am, of scheduling too much, thinking so much about keeping that schedule that you realize that you haven't taken the time to give him what he wants to give to you, that you haven't come for that filling, that you haven't come for that assurance, that you haven't talked to him. What do you want me to do today, Father? It's your day. How about if I ask you? If you need to rededicate your priorities tonight, and you need someone to pray with you to help you and encourage you in that, we give you that opportunity.